What is up, brother? What is up?
What's going on, baby? What's going on?
You know, just we're missing someone today. Obviously, we're missing Zach Voisin. Unfortunately, he couldn't be here because he's probably still crying about a certain loss that his favorite team took on national television. And to commemorate that in his honor, I decided to make a video. And I really wanted to just highlight that as our opening bit. And we're going to jump into this podcast right after. We got a good one. Instead of our normal routine, we'll talk a tiny bit about fantasy. But I think we're going to come up with our picks for MVP, Coach of the Year, all that stuff. And then we'll wrap up with a quick power rankings and finally a roundtable for next week. So let me jump into this video that I whipped up. But I'm on that new shit. They say they gon' ride me. See me never do shit. Cause they know that's the reason they gon' end up on the news clip. Audemars on my wrist. Bust down. We popping bottles like I scored a winning touchdown. Remember me dead broke. Look at me up now. I run my city from South Philly back to uptown. Thank God all these bottles I pop. All this paper I've been getting. All these models I pop. I done sold 100,000 for my album got dropped. And I'm only 23. I'm the shit now. Look at me. Look at me. I'm a boss like my nigga Rose. Hey, shorty asked me for a check. I told that bitch like no way. Cause I made it from the bottom. It was never no way. And I never had a job. You know I had to sell. Yeah. Bitch, I'm a boss. I'm a boss. I call a shot. Call a shot. I'm with the murder team.
Got so many shades, they thought I had a lazy eye. Shorty roll me smooth as my Mercedes ride. No love, cry when only babies die. And when I go, that casket better cost 100,000. I pray to God I look my killer in his eyes. Snatch his soul out of his shirt, just take him for that ride. OG is one who's standing on his own feet. A boss is one who guarantee we gon' eat. Fuck a blog, dog, cause one day we gon' meet. I'ma spaz on your ass like I'm on E. Or a double stack, better nigga, double that. Jerry Jones money, nigga, you a running back.
Well, well, well. MV Purdy?
49ers! What happened? How you throw 4-5 interceptions to the Ravens?
Raven Baltimore. Oh,
Baltimore.
Oh my goodness.
What a game.
Let's just start off with this topic, honestly. This is just, we're onto it already.
That was our intro for the podcast. We're rolling right into it.
Well, we're just gonna roll right into it.
Let's do it.
What a very interesting game. You know, you see, clearly, I mean, this is for the most part the assumptions going around, right? That's basically what the Super Bowl was going to be. High expectations. I was expecting a game where it was going to be pretty even. I wasn't even going to say it was going to be high scoring. I was going to say like at least like 28-21, right? Like those kind, like that kind of score. But
yeah, man,
what a game. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm speechless right now.
So Anthony and I have a tradition of texting each other during the games and just saying, dear God, we need the Niners to lose. We can't handle this. For those who don't know, both of us grew up in Northern California where the Niners are the number one team to watch. So 90% of our friend group that we're in a group chat with are Niners fans, and they're just the most annoying, just terrible fans on earth. And so we always just like, dear God, please let them lose. And man, oh man, were we having a field day watching that game. It was a merry, merry Christmas. You know, Christmas was kind of mid until Brock Purdy was like, you know what? Let's make this exciting for all my haters. And boy, did he. At the end of that highlight, if you guys watched through that, he finished under 50% passing, 255 yards, four interceptions. And then he went out in the mid-fourth quarter with a some elbow injury, but who knows what happened.
Something like
anyway,
that.
Ant and I were texting back and forth. At some point, hold on, Ant, I've got to pull up this picture I made. I think you know exactly which picture it is. It is the Brock Purdy with the sitting in the chair. I gotta see if I can include this real quick. And why don't you explain a little bit of what was going on in that group chat at the time? What was I saying? What were you saying? What were the boys saying?
Oh man, well. The boys were so Keaton was giving everyone a hard time in the group chat. Keaton is probably the only person in our group that has no empathy whatsoever. And he'll say whatever he wants to say to the guys in the group chat. Like, I don't say anything to the group chat. I'm all like, you know what? Like, I'm going to, you know, let you guys be right. Do your thing. I'm not going to send too much. I'll sit on the sidelines. Right. I'm going to be that guy. Right. For sure. But Keaton, on the other hand, he doesn't roll like that. He's ruthless and he'll say what he wants to say. So at this point, all the fellows, they're talking about, you know, Brock Purdy, MVP. He should be MVP. Like they're saying, like they have said until today and maybe a few days back, but they said that Brock Purdy should be MVP, not CMC. I think that's a little crazy in my opinion, but
yeah,
realistically here, MVP is MVP is a quarterback trophy.
There was two plays in that game where the Ravens defense dropped catchable balls that were thrown right at him. Like we saw that Patrick Queen one that could have he could have thrown five interceptions. You know,
I was gonna say six if anything, but
yeah, it could have been six.
Six maximum. I'm pretty sure
if he had thrown five, they probably would have pulled him out. But I think what was most telling for me in watching that game was when he got injured and Sam Darnold comes in, and Sam Darnold has always had an interception issue. He's never been secure with that ball. Dude, when he came in, he looked good, man.
He did.
Like
give him that.
He had a touchdown pass. And then with like very limited time, he threw a garbage time interception in the red zone. And objectively, it was a terrible pass, but I think to me, that is the biggest gripe that finally everyone was able to see because Sam Darnold finally got an opportunity to play was that the plug and play part of the Kyle Shanahan offense is the quarterback. You could take Jimmy Garoppolo and lead that team to a Super Bowl. You could take Brock Purdy and lead that team to a Super Bowl. You could probably take Sam Darnold and win 80% of your games. I'm not saying he's better than Brock Purdy, but we saw it last night that when two nights ago, technically three, if you're watching this on Thursday, it's the same offense. It's the same offense with or without him. They hand the ball off to Christian McCaffrey. They throw screen passes. And honestly, that game, Sam Darnold looked like the better quarterback regardless, even if you wipe off the four interceptions. So it was sloppy. San Francisco got what they deserved. Those fans got what they deserved. The final score was 19-33, but realistically it was 11 or 12-33. There was just a garbage time touchdown. I think what's also interesting is that we've kind of seen this a lot when Brock Purdy and this happened in the Seahawks game too, the Thanksgiving game, when Brock Purdy faces a little bit of adversity or momentum starts to shift on one side, he crumbles, hence the crumble cookie meme. he crumbles. He had a pick six in that Hawks game that changed momentum, and we would go on to lose that. But you could see him. He was panicking. He was making all these rush throws. He was taking silly sacks. He was, it just didn't look good. Yeah. So I thought it was fun to watch as the biggest Niners hater that was ever to live on Christmas at home to watch Brock Purdy finally get exposed and the MVP conversations are over, done. Especially yeah. when Sam Darnold came in and looked good. They're done. If he somehow cracks the top five for MVP, I'm shocked. I'm absolutely shocked.
I would say he's maybe top five. I would say Brock Purdy still is top five. Considering on just because of one game, realistically though, I don't see it. I still see him at top five.
Yeah. I think
top five and if I don't, anything, he's if they for yeah. whatever reason he's not top five, he's top six.
Yeah. I don't necessarily think it's because of the interceptions. I think it's because if you look at the majority of his throws, they are check down passes. Majority of his, I think he had like 67% of his throws were yards after the catch. He had three that were 20 plus yards and they were all 1 yard passes or less because Debo bounced off a tackle or Christian McCaffrey gets the ball in the back of the yeah. field and just takes it up the field. And I think people finally saw that for what it was, especially when Darnold came in and did the same thing and got the same results. So right. it also frustrates me that people think it's Brock Purdy's MVP season over Christian McCaffrey's when Christian McCaffrey was the only thing doing anything other than George Kittle.
Right.
So
I definitely I'm over CNC, it. But
yeah.
Nevertheless, though, for before people come at us, hating at us in the comments, Niners are a solid team. They are a freaking great team. All right. I strongly believe they'll go to the Super Bowl. I strongly believe it.
Yep.
That's just how it is though. Like just, we're not dogging on that they're a bad team. Cause they're not like, they are a phenomenal team. They're really good.
I'm hating on them because they're good.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, man. Is that how this is how it feels? This is crazy.
Yes.
Man.
Sorry, we're hating on the team that's good. This is what it is. This is like people hating on Patrick Mahomes. It's because he's got two Super Bowl MVPs, Mahomes, two Super Bowls, two MVPs. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks, but everyone is loving watching all these meltdowns that he's having because people hate great players.
I think we should get into the Mahomes topic in a little bit, though.
We
get there.
Go ahead.
I was going to say yes, but they're a great team. Niners are, arguably still number one, even though the Ravens now have a better record than them. If anything, like they're top two teams. That's mm-hmm. still amazing. That's still really good. And honestly, like I'm going to say it, like I'm happy for the Niner fans. I'm happy for the Niners, right? They're doing really, really good right now. Let's just see if they can actually finish the job though, right? Like, yep. They've choked it in the past 5 years now. 5 years in a row, they've choked it. Like, not trying to dog there. That's just facts.
They've had a Super Bowl winning team in each of the last five seasons, or Super Bowl caliber team, and they just can't get it done.
So, but we'll see what happens with them. Like, I still think they're going to the Super Bowl. But yeah, we just don't think Brock Purdy is anywhere close to being MVP, especially after that performance and the way everything should be. It should be CMC.
And he's not even MVP of his own team. So that's even more telling. Well, before we jump into a little bit of our picks for, what type of cookie you got there?
Chocolate chip, homemade. Mama T cooked them up or baked them up, I guess.
She send you home with some?
Yeah, it was awesome. Mm.
You know they're busting, dude.
Mm. So good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, look, before we jump into a little bit of our picks for who we think MVP should be and all that stuff, I wanted to talk a little bit about fantasy. Zach, our co-host, is not here, but his team unfortunately lost, and so he got eliminated from the championship contention.
So Zach will now be fighting for third place.
Yep.
So he can win his money back.
Mitch, yep. Third place gets money back.
Mitch is in the toilet bowl.
Oh. That's right. Hunter. Against Hunter. The second place gets their money back, and I want to say whatever our buy-in 40.
Third Third place gets your money back.
Second place gets money back and then an extra amount. I think it's an extra
40 bucks or something like that.
40. Yeah. So whatever the buy-in, like if the buy-in's 40, third place gets 40, second place gets 80 or 120. And then first place gets the whole pot, basically the rest of it. Mm-hmm. So jumping into, yeah. So obviously we've talked about our toilet bowl. And of course I was the second worst team. I went up against John this week. John is our commissioner, finished 7-7 this year. And man, I'm out.
I survived too. Keaton, I'm shocked you survived. Let's go, baby. You were prepping yourself for nothing, my boy. Let's go.
I've had 5 good weeks in a row. Like my team has been balling. Finally, everyone's been, T. Higgins has been playing great. So, you know, it's like a Zeke, man. Zeke's balling.
Why couldn't Devondre do this?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. But, so you know, that the end of that game, I knew that the Niners were going to lose. But when Sam Darnold came in, I was just praying that Brandon Ayuk doesn't catch a touchdown. At that point, a touchdown catch would have killed me and I would have lost by a point. I ended up winning by 7. And, you know, just to highlight, thankfully, I'm out. TJ Hockenson tore his ACL and MCL in this game. And so he's done. Zeke, you know, Zeke popped off 20 points. Geno came back at the very end, gave me some nice points. T. Higgins has finally been playing well, of course. And David Njoku, man.
Jamar Chase,
my backup. Yeah, my backup tight end for all season has just been delivering every week. I think he's sixth. But if you look at his numbers, 17, 12, 11, 12, 11, 3 points, but then 27, 26, and 16. He's been nuts. So I move on, and our commissioner has to play for the last place, I believe, against Eamon, right? Eamon lost his game by – yeah, he lost by 3 points.
He barely lost, dude.
I know, lost by 3 points to Mitch. So great – good outlook. I'm so thankful John did not play Russell Wilson because Russell Wilson had 24 points and Brock Purdy with this big fat four interception game had 2 points. Really saved my buns there. So
yeah,
that's it for fantasy.
Actually I have one thing for fantasy. If you can go back to it
real ahead. Quick. Absolutely. I'd be happy to. Is it, do you want to look at my team or what are we looking at here?
Let's type in the name when you go up. I'm talking about
Anthony. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Okay.
What?
Look at dude. Hot women on the screen.
Oh.
Okay. Okay. What were you saying?
Okay. Go to players.
Okay.
And click on add players.
Okay.
Keaton, would you please type in the name for me? Nope. The player name. Please type in the name Amari Cooper.
Oh my God. Okay.
If anyone started Amari Cooper in fantasy or even just watched the game, if you're a Cleveland Browns fan, 51 points, 52, you're rounding up.
God. Oh,
that.
This is, we'll talk about our comeback player of the year a little bit, but man, ever since Joe Flacco has been integrated in this offense, at least the last 2 weeks, he has been balling. Amari Cooper is
not on week. I thought that was week 3 for him.
No, I think it is week 3, but I'm saying at least the last 2 weeks he's been balling. We've seen an uptick, obviously, as you can see up and through Pittsburgh. He didn't play well, but Amari Cooper is not a guy that's going to go out and get a ton of receptions. He is a deep ball threat, but man, against that Houston game, I think going into half or the end of the third, he had 4 catches for 95 yards. And then immediately just keeps going, dude. Just
keep going.
They dragged this guy up with steroids. Yes.
Now, if you want to go to Diego's team then. So at one point for everyone, I go on fantasy randomly because I just want to check it out, right? I mean, there's no point for me. I already mentioned that I'm out of the toilet bowl. I'm safe. But I texted in our fantasy group chat, and then I proceeded to say, and I took a screenshot, and I said, boys, Diego is projected for 190 points. And in our league,
projected for 130 going into this game.
Yeah. Like, I've never seen in our league a projection for 190 points. Our league is very competitive, as you guys could tell throughout our entire journey together so far in our first season here doing this. Our league is very competitive. I've never seen a projection in our league for 190 with that team right there. You're not expecting 190 points from that team. No, like at all.
You're not.
And then there's Bummy Hunter who started. Who did he start? That's injured. He started
Michael Pittman. It was Michael Pittman.
That's right. He started freaking Michael Pittman.
Yeah. Like, oh, he did. Yeah. He just didn't take him out. And then
didn't take him out.
I mean, there's no conceivable way that he could have won, so it doesn't matter. But it was a frustrating showing.
This is the semifinals. Like,
you got money on the line here. You got money on the line. And dude, I mean, you talk about domination in a league. Diego and Alex. Look, Alex is just a guy that just wins. Like, his team is so
bad.
Mid.
His team is horrible.
It's mid and good at the same time. Like, the last 3 years that we have been in this league, and I believe he won last year, right? Didn't he? Or he got second or whatever?
He won last year.
And the year before that, Diego won twice in a row. And so you either get two repeat champions back in a row, in a row, or Diego wins his third in 4 years. And last year, Alex's team beat me by like 7 points or whatever. And I would have won the championship. It's whatever. But his team always peaks at the right moment. And so if we scroll over to his team right now.
Diego has won almost every single year, Keaton. This is our sixth year doing this league.
No, he's only won twice.
No, he's the two-time champ. Times.
No, he's only two-time. This would be his third year.
Let me just point this out here.
Yes.
I mean, this guy's not nuts. Bragging, but I mean, first time he won, he had to go through me. I just want to point that out because I was in championship way long ago, you know. But I had
two back-to-back championships. Season. Yep. Two back-to-back championships. Last year almost made it, would have won if I played the right player. Bah humbug. Okay, but this is my point. In week 9, Alex had 90 points. He is projected 132 this week. Dude, I mean, seriously. It's unfathomable. He does this every year. His team just peaks at the right moment. So this is our championship game. I personally think Diego has this. I think Diego's team is more fundamentally solid. But it depends because he's playing CJ Stroud instead of Justin Fields, which I think is a little iffy considering it's the Atlanta defense who's been a little shaky. That's my X factor. But, yeah, I mean, this is the big issue, too. You have Amari Cooper, who's listed as questionable, Chris Olave, and CJ Stroud, too. So, interesting. Sucks we couldn't be there. We literally have a fantasy podcast, and two of the three teams made it in the bottom six, and the other one couldn't even make the championship. But that's the way it crumbles, man. Just like Brock Purdy, that's the way the cookie crumbles.
I was just about to say that. Brock?
Wait, no, that's a whole cookie.
Oh.
That's
Brock?
Oh my God.
Oh.
You got to divide it into one more so you can have four equal interceptions. Right now you have two interceptions. There you go. There's interception number three. There we go. There's four interceptions for Brock right there.
Four.
A crumbled cookie for each interception. But look, we've already talked fantasy, and you know, that's one thing. Basically for us, fantasy's wrapped. It's, you know, Zach might win his game and win some money, but for both of us, we have nothing going on. So now it's time to focus on some fun stuff. Specifically, I think we talk a little bit about our end of the year accolades, right? Obviously, we don't have Zach on here, and so I don't want to get too deep into it just because I want to hear his input. But I really just wanted to talk maybe a little bit about the main ones other than rookies. So MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, Comeback Player of the Year, and then Coach of the Year. I think we do five. And Anthony, I don't know if you're feeling that, but I think it's, you know, I don't know if you had some specific one that you did or didn't want to talk about. So
I don't care either way.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, I just want to say this. The Bruins just beat the Sabres 4-1. Let's get it.
Wow.
We're on a little bit of a losing streak there for a little bit. Got me nervous.
Let's look at what the Kraken are doing while we have a little intermission. They are tied 1-1 against Calgary, baby.
Hey,
Seattle's been playing good. Seattle's been playing good hockey lately, so I'm not too upset.
I mean, you guys are pretty even teams, honestly, for the most part. So
yeah, pretty much. Okay, well, let's jump into the big one. We already kind of started talking about who we think our MVPs are. See, this is interesting because MVP usually is a quarterback's thing.
Quarterback,
right? Like we had Cooper Kupp almost get 2,000 receiving yards in a season. Adrian Peterson was our last MVP. And that's because he came 12 yards short of breaking the all-time rushing record. So it's hard to see Christian McCaffrey getting that accolade, right? I personally think he's the most deserving. I think he is the MVP of the second best team. But the MVP of the best team, arguably right now, and the betting favorite, is Lamar Jackson. And after the game he played, I can't really see him losing it unless he has a Brock Purdy-esque, like, four interception game.
Yeah.
But if they go 15-3 and clinch the first seed, I can't say that he's not going to win it. Do I think he's the most deserving? I don't. But I don't, Anthony, I'm curious. Do you think that it's Lamar at this point? If the voting opened and ended today, is Lamar your pick if you had a vote? And then also, who
you're asking me, like, you saying personally my opinion, or are you saying like what I think,
like,
what it would be in general with how it would be right
now,
what I would think,
I think
that people would
I think
vote
both
on.
Yeah, I think both. I don't know if he is your MVP. I think obviously, and you might be able to agree that he is more than likely going to get it. But who is yours, and then do you think it's his?
So I think CMC should, personally. Christian McCaffrey. There's no words to put it, really. He's a freaking dog. He's a dog.
Yeah, he's nuts.
He's so good. But the other part, though, is that if, say, like, the votes started tonight and they ended tonight, right? We got the results when it was all done. It would be Lamar. It would be.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and that's for multiple reasons. Part of it has to do, one, he's a quarterback. Like Keaton and I just said, this is a big, like, big, huge quarterback trophy, basically, right? This MVP, right? So that's why I think it would be Lamar. Ravens have been doing really, really well this season. But the other reason why I think it would be Lamar as well is because people are going to remember, and this is the only thing that's going to matter because it was the latest thing that happened. Lamar destroyed the Niners. The defense, I mean, clearly, the defense did a lot, okay? You know, like, but I'm saying in this case, right, like, Lamar destroyed the Niners. Demolished. People are going to see that, and they're going to go, why would I vote CMC when CMC didn't do anything, really? Why would I vote Purdy if he didn't do anything, right? Lamar just took down the number one team in the NFL. I'm going to Lamar MVP. That's the mindset of what most people would be, right? Like,
I think MVP on the best team, you know?
Right. And to answer both your questions, my MVP is CMC. I think it's going to be Lamar. If that makes sense.
Yeah. I'm in a very similar boat, which leads us, since we're kind of in agreement on at this point, who's most likely going to win it, into Offensive Player of the Year. And I think this one's a no-brainer. For me, it's Christian McCaffrey. It's going to be Christian McCaffrey. He could tear both his ankles, his arms could rip off, and he would still win it. There's no one even remotely close. I'm looking at his stats right now, and he has 1,400 yards from 1,400 rushing yards. He has 14 touchdowns. He has 7 receiving touchdowns, which is a career high. He'll finish with a career high in both rushing touchdowns and receiving, but he'll have at least 22. And scrimmage yards is pretty nuts. 1,932, which would be second only to his 2019 season in Carolina, in which he had 2,400 rushing yards. So, or yards from scrimmage, sorry.
That's ridiculous.
Just gaudy numbers. Just insane.
I don't know.
That guy is literally he's just a workhorse.
Yeah.
So, and I imagine you're in agreement, but is that your offensive player of the year?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is a difficult one. Let's talk about our defensive player of the year. I don't know if you have one at the ready. So I'll let you think about this if you want me to take the lead and talk about my player that I'd like. Okay.
Yeah.
There are a ton of defensive gems in this NFL. I personally think the one that I would take right now is I kind of want to talk about Myles Garrett. I think it's hard not to put him in that list. He doesn't lead the league in sacks, and I apologize if I'm looking at my other screen. I'm just getting some stats pulled up. I personally think it's Myles Garrett. I just couldn't see a way he doesn't win it. And you could say, honestly, it's Nick Bosa. I don't think he's done enough, especially to start the season, that he needed to. But if we look at our defensive stats as well, and let me go ahead and just get our defensive leaders. So in tackles, or in sacks, we have TJ Watt, Trey Hendrickson, Danielle Hunter, Khalil Mack, Josh Allen. So he ranks about 6th in sacks, but I think he's ranked about 7th. You kind of look at these numbers, and TJ Watt's been an absolute monster. I personally think it's just Myles Garrett's domination of this league and that defense as a whole. He is the backbone. I could see it going to TJ Watt. I also think it's a popularity pick, and I could totally see it being his pick. He's also, he also has 4 forced fumbles on the year as well. So that's another pretty big stat. Anthony, is there someone that jumps out at you on that list?
Yes.
Man, it could be TJ Watt though too.
I was gonna say TJ Watt.
I might need to change. I'm looking at these numbers now.
I was gonna say TJ Watt.
I might need to change my answer. Also has 4 forced fumbles.
Sacks.
17 sacks, 41 tackles, right? He's a linebacker, so he's not going to get a ton. But he does have an interception, and he does have 4 forced fumbles. So
Myles Garrett's not a bad option, though, at the same time. That's – it's just
– I think it's hard, tough, man. Because everyone wants to look at the sacks.
You also have Micah Parsons as well, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
– Khalil Mack's up there. Max Crosby's up there.
Max Crosby.
17 sacks, though. 17 sacks is absolutely filthy, though.
Insane. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though.
Yeah. This is a loaded defensive year, though.
I mean, you also have to put in Fred Warner in there, too. I mean, you have to.
Yeah.
I'm not, like, yeah. He's a dog. He is. But
you could, you could do De'Aaron Bland from Dallas, Micah Parsons from Dallas. I think with Bland, though, even though he leads the league in interceptions, I don't know. He's like a Trayvon Diggs to me, where he will get these amazing interceptions, But then he'll the next play, and we saw this against Seattle, he'll get absolutely busted in coverage. DK yeah. Metcalf was all over him. And I think that for me was just something I just wouldn't go for. So yeah, I think I might change my answer. I think it's going to be TJ Watt. Fred Warner's up there. Chavarius Ward's up there, but it's hard to combat 17 sacks and 4 forced fumbles. So I stand corrected.
Okay.
I stand corrected. And yeah, I think that's, let's see. Let's also, who leads the, yeah. So Deron Bland leads league in interceptions with 8. Forced fumbles. It doesn't have a good stat for that, but it's 4. So,
right.
Well, let's talk defense is just not hotly contested, or it's a little more contested. So there's a lot of movement there.
Right.
Let's talk about something that is, I feel like, kind of, it's not like the most important award, but I do think it's like probably my favorite award, and that's Coach of the Year. I personally think it should be
Josh McDaniels, baby.
Yeah. Well, I was actually, it's funny. It's funny you bring that up because I was thinking of who's that young head coach from New England? Belichick? Bill Belichick?
Oh my God. Bill Belichick.
Right?
I don't think he's
Belichick.
Young.
Belichick. Yeah, yeah. The young chap. Bill Belichick. Please
tell me you're kidding, man. Sorry. When you said New England, I was all like, what do you mean?
I'm sorry.
Having a brain aneurysm right there for a second.
Poor joke. Coach, and I'm going to let you lead this. I have a coach in mind. I'm not sure if we're thinking the same thing, so I want to hear yours first.
I like John Harbaugh. I do like him. He's always been great, right? The Ravens, I mean, I'm not a big Ravens fan. I'm really, really not, honestly. They're insane. They're good. I mean, he's up there for me. Honestly, Kyle Shanahan's up there for me too. Yeah. I mean, he's up there. I'll even say it, Mike McDaniel. Yeah. Heck yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're all really good coaches. And I think the reason why those three in particular have really like stood out to me is they seem to actually get to know and get along with their players so much. And they that's a huge impact on a player's performance on the field. Yeah. Like it's all about trusting and whatnot, all about like, hey, that sure. Brock Purdy's out is a leader out there in the field, but Shanahan's
who's the leader right
on the sideline. Yeah. Like
who's got that locker room by the throat, you know?
Exactly. You know, and I see those three coaches doing it the best. And I think to me personally, that's the biggest thing to Coach of the Year award.
Yeah.
And so that's my opinion. It could be either one of those three. There could be a coach that I miss and I'm like, damn. But those are the three that come to my mind.
I've got two that you might be like, oh, okay, I could see that. For me, my kind of dark horse that could possibly make some noise if that team wins out is Sean McVay. The Rams going into the season where part of the classic Kayla Williams sweepstakes. And I mean, they started out the season awful. They looked every bit. I won't say they started the season out awful. They started the season with a blowout win against Seattle. After that, though, it went to shit. And that team has made a complete turnaround thanks to the focus and leadership on the field of Matt Stafford. But if you look, Sean McVay looks like he's enjoying that team again. And the players around him are rallying. They have called numerous he has called just some fantastic games lately. They are beating really good teams. They've won, I want to say it's like four out of their last five. And I mean, if they went out, you go from a team that was projected to win maybe 3 or 4 games to winning 10 games and being the second or first wildcard team. It's pretty impressive. It's extremely impressive. Right now they're 8-7, but I think they're better than that. And they've also beaten Seattle twice, which sucks to say. The coach, I think, should win it and probably does, other than Jim Harbaugh, is Dan Campbell. Look, Detroit just won their first conference title or division title in 30 years. Last year, there was calls early on in the season for Dan Campbell to be fired. It didn't feel like he, while a leader, was calling the right plays, or he just didn't have the right personnel around him because he's not a big play caller. This year, this year, that team has made a full 180, and they scare me a little bit. They have a big game at home against Dallas. It's our Saturday night game, but they're 11-4, baby. I mean, you know, they win one more game. And even if they lose one, they're 12-5. They're sitting comfortably at the 2, 3, or 4 seed, and they win their division for the first time in 30 years. It's hard not to look at that guy and go, okay, it's him. But on the other hand, they're not 12-3, and they're not Miami football. So I could absolutely see it going to John Harbaugh or Mike McDaniels. It just would be, in my opinion, kind of a disservice if they didn't go towards Dan Campbell. But that, you know, it all depends on the voters, and obviously we're not voters for a reason. So we would be awful voters. Brock Purdy, I would vote him out of the league. So
is this how you felt when Tom Brady was doing really good for us?
No, I didn't even hate Tom Brady as much as I hate Brock Purdy.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fair.
So, okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about our last one. And then next week we'll do our rookie of the years and then our, maybe a regrade of our picks for division winners and all that. But, let's talk about our comeback player of the year, because the betting favorite is Damar Hamlin. Do not resuscitate Hamlin, but
comeback player, huh?
I don't personally think Damar Hamlin deserves that spot. He has played some awful, awful, awful football. He's on the field less than half the plays. He is literally in basketball terms, he is the 11th man. Like, he will come in for like the last 38 seconds just to watch the other opposing team take a knee to close out the game. That's what he is. But because he died on the field legally died. And then obviously he was resuscitated. Now is playing football again. It feels like it's going to go his way. And is there a player other than him or even him that you think deserves that award and or gets that award?
Any position.
I've got my pick, so.
Dude, there's just so many that, like, I actually don't know. I can list off a few receivers that come to my mind where, like, yeah, no, they
okay.
Where did they come from? But here's one, actually. Just because of what was happening last season and at the beginning of this season, one of them for me, and I know this is probably going to be nowhere close. I just haven't thought enough on this one. I didn't think about this one at all for people watching and listening.
That's okay.
So I'm just kind of thinking quick off the top of my head. One of them would for me be Alvin Kamara in that sense. He's been playing very well.
Fantastic.
Very football. Well. Like, I was not expecting Kamara to do what he's doing right now. Not at all. Nowhere close. Another one I would like to maybe just give out a shout out to is honestly DJ Moore. DJ Moore is a player that I really want to give a shout out to on that. You haven't really heard his name too much in the past few seasons. You haven't.
Nah, but he's bald this year.
Yeah, he is. He has. I don't know. Both those names just off the top of my head.
1,200 yards.
Yeah. Both those names off the top of my head instant for me. I'm looking through others right now and nothing that I see that really just surprises me, shocks me. of any sort. I think Josh Allen is playing better ball, but he would be nowhere up there for me in that. I just saw his name pop up, so I just wanted to mention that. Brock Purdy as well, I will say. Brock Purdy's got to be up there, I think, after what happened last season, which it's tragic. Don't get me wrong. I never like to see a player get hurt or anything. It sucks. I definitely think he's made one hell of a comeback this season, clearly.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's all I can think of, at least. Maybe you – I guarantee you have better players in mind than what I –
I do have a few. I think impactfully, this is going to be kind of maybe a little homer of a pick, but I think Russell Wilson deserves a little chance to show himself on that. I don't think he wins it. I personally think he sits in my list.
I see where you're going with it.
Yes, I think he sits at that list. My personal pick, though, for comeback player of the year is obviously it's not DeMar Hamlin. It would be Joe Flacco.
Interesting.
The only hiccup I have on Joe Flacco, and the only thing I question whether he's going to win it, he hasn't played enough. I don't think he's played enough.
He's played 3 weeks.
But he's four now. Four weeks. He'll get 6 weeks. He'll get 6 weeks of football in. But when you look at, I mean, he's 3 wins, 1 loss. He's had all of his games have been over 300 yards except for one. He's averaging kind of a decent little amount of touchdowns. But for a 38-year-old guy coming off of like basically borderline being retired,
out of the bench.
Yes. He was like this guy was in Vietnam fighting wars. And then they were just like, hey, we could use you. And he's like, oh, okay, cool. And he's played well. I mean, he's played well enough for them to win. They lost to the Rams, which again, shout out the Rams, but they've won 3 straight and they've beaten Jacksonville. They've beaten a Chicago team that's on a good roll. And they've beaten a Houston team that's also up there. To me, it makes sense, but it's hard to see past the DeMar Hamlin thing since the guy's just a popular pick. So I think it's Joe Flacco. I think you could include Brock. Russell Wilson could be included, but I honestly think DeMar wins it, unfortunately. But I think it's DeMar Hamlin. Actually, because it's comeback. It's not most improved. So most improved player should be an award. But comeback, I was going to say, who is the Dak Prescott? But Dak has Dak's whatever. He played last year. So, I mean, other than that, I don't have too many other war or like accolades or things. Before we jump into our roundtable to wrap up this week, did you have any other additions to any of those lists?
No. I do want to mention one thing, though, real quick with news-wise. Russell Wilson is getting benched for the next 2 weeks. And actually, not just for the next 2 weeks. He's benched the rest of the season.
He's probably not getting played at this. That might have been his last game as a Bronco.
Broncos country, let's die. All right.
Broncos country, let's ride. In parentheses, the bench.
Broncos country, let's sigh.
Yeah, that's a good one. Real quick. I will say this news shocked me a little bit, but upon reading it, I kind of understand it. I think Russell Wilson is getting an unfair deal here. Unfair treatment, I should say. He's played well enough for them to win. That defense is starting to regress a little bit. That's fine. We kind of expected it. But to bench him just as a precaution that if he doesn't pass his physical next year, you're hit with $60 million in dead cap because he gets an extra guaranteed on his contract is pretty nuts, because your replacement is Jarrett Stidham, who is a career and will be a career journeyman by the end of his career. which should be only a few more years. He is a bum. And you're looking at a team that is trying. Yes. Yeah. Jarrett Stidham is a bum. And you're trying to get into the playoffs. And right now, you kind of don't have an opportunity since you've lost your last two games. You don't have an opportunity to win your division anymore. The Raiders have jumped you. So now they're in the playoff spot. It's just, it doesn't make sense for a guy like Russell Wilson, who has been almost healthy his entire career, to get benched the last two games. But I understand it, because if by some miraculous reason he gets injured and it's an injury that he can't really come back from, they are out so much money. So kind of 50-50. It would make more sense if they weren't competing for a playoff spot.
You see, for me, I believe the guy that they're starting right now, he's the guy that you start in week 18, the week before playoffs start. He's the guy that you start because your team is 1-16. And you go, well, we got nothing to lose. Let's just throw in our backups for this game, because who cares anymore, right? He's that guy, in my opinion. Maybe he's not that bad.
He's pretty bad. Jarrett Stidham, he's had two good games.
But he's that guy. He's that guy to me.
Yeah, he could be. I agree with that. I don't know. I think Russell Wilson will go to a team. My roommate texted me and he said the Steelers would be probably a good matchup. I could also see him going to the Giants with Russell Wilson. Great addition.
The Patriots with Russell Wilson.
Yes, I could see that. I think actually for him, this is maybe a good situation. There are going to be a lot of teams that are going to be hurting for quarterbacks. Falcons are going to be one of them. The Saints could be, if they didn't just give Derek Carr a huge bag. The Colts, well, not really, because Anthony Richardson will be back. The Raiders might be a team that you look at. There are like five or six teams where I could realistically see him go. It's just a problem with how much his contract is worth. It's going to be hard to see him go somewhere that's going to be ready to win. But, you know, obviously time will tell. We'll see in the next 2 weeks what happens, what that team looks like. But like I said, yeah, there's like, I'm looking at these games right now and I'm looking at these teams and I'm like, yeah, he could go here. He could go here. He's a plug and play guy that you could probably put in a good amount of these teams that are going to be needing a quarterback and that are going to be willing to trade come deadline. So time will tell. Well, you want to jump into our round table this week?
Would love to.
Okay, let's do it. We'll make this quick. Jets at Browns. That is our game tonight at 6:15.
Give me the Browns.
Yeah. Give me the Browns. Lions at Cowboys. That's our Saturday night, 6:15 game.
That's a good game, actually.
Dallas coming off two straight losses on the road, needs a win at home. Lions need this win to stay in second in the division or in the conference.
You know what? I don't know why, but I have faith in Detroit right now. So I'm going to give me the Lions on this.
Yeah, I'm 50-50. I think it's probably the Cowboys just because they're playing at home and they're really good at home. But I could see this just being an absolute shootout. So I'm going to take the Cowboys, but I wouldn't be shocked if this Lions. Titans at Texans.
Titans at Texans. Ooh.
CJ Stroud might be playing. Could be questionable. So that's hit or miss.
CJ Stroud is playing.
Yes. Texans. Okay.
If he's Texans. Playing, so yeah. I'm just
if he's not. Texans, if he's I not, think the then Titans. I think Titans are playing it. Ryan Tannehill this year or this week. So,
I think the Titans will barely take it. I think
over the Texans.
If CJ Stroud
or if CJ. Okay.
If CJ Stroud's not playing, Titans win barely. If CJ Stroud's playing, I'm just going to say Texans.
Okay, Falcons at Bears. The Bears. Bears have been kind of good lately. Justin Fields has been kind of good the last few weeks. He's still trash. I'm putting him in mid now. He's progressing a little bit. Yeah. I think that team needs a lot of stuff. Okay, this is a banger game. Banger game. Dolphins at Ravens.
Oh man. Okay. Shit.
Also, to add to our offensive player of the year, could also be Tyreek Hill if he pops out these last 2 weeks, but it probably won't be. Anyway, go ahead.
Who's home?
Ravens. It's Dolphins at Ravens at 11 a.m.
I got to go Ravens.
I do too. I think they're going to build off that last win.
I think they're going to build off of it, and I think that defense is going to lock it down. And I think Tyreek is still going to do well against him, but I think the Ravens D is just going to hold him off just enough. Plus, Jalen Waddle is now out too.
Yep. So. It's run. I don't know. It's hard to bet against the Ravens after that last win. So
yes.
All right. Moving on. Let's go Saints at Buccaneers. I'm taking the Bucs.
Give me the Bucs.
Baker Mayfield playing pretty well right now. I got to give
the NFL Super Bowl logo, how it's red and purple. What if it's not the Niners? The Niners choke again, and it's the Bucs and the Ravens.
And Ravens. I know. I saw that, dude. Someone was tweeting that. Could be the Ravens. And the top comment was, it could be the Cardinals, guys, at the start of the season. And the Cardinals proceed to go, what? They're 3-12. Well, look, here's a big game. This could be I'm not going to lie. This is my trap game of the week. Patriots at Bills. I'm taking the Patriots.
I mean, every single time I've said give me the Patriots, they've won. So give me the Patriots, even though I'm a fan, but they just suck. Especially, they just suck. But, hey, to be fair, we beat the Bills when we played them earlier this season. That was one of our wins. So give me my Pats, baby.
Love that. I love that.
Bailey Zappi. Let's go, baby.
Bailey Crappy, baby. Cardinals at Eagles.
Eagles.
Give me the Eagles. Eagles need this win so bad. If they lose, if this is a close game, bad news. Okay.
I will post it and I will laugh at every single Eagles fan on my Instagram. And I'll literally say at all Eagle fans.
At Eagle fans. Fans. Panthers at Jags. Now, I do want to preface. Last week, you guys called me a madman for thinking that the Panthers would beat the Packers. And granted, they didn't beat the Packers. They put up 30 points and lost by 3. They lost 30-33.
Let's in also a very winnable, though. That Packers defense is horrible.
Atrocious.
It's horrible.
Terrible.
You got to give them that, though.
It's terrible. Okay, no more Trevor Lawrence. He's probably out for the rest of the season. Give me the Panthers. Give me the Panthers. They're hot. They are starting to feel themselves. Give me the Panthers.
Who's starting quarterback for Jacksonville?
They just picked up. Hold on. So, yeah, he's a sprained AC joint. And let's see. Oh, it was they picked up. Hold on. I have this. Matt Barkley. But it's going to be CJ Beathard is going to be their actual player.
Give me the Panthers. Yep. I'll hop on the train with you.
Raiders at Colts.
Raiders.
Give me the Raiders.
Give me the Raiders.
Raiders.
Hey, too. That's for you, dog. That's for you. Let's go.
Shout out Henry Ruggs. The Raiders. The Raiders.
130 miles per hour, right, boys?
Yeah. You're good. Rams at Giants.
Give me the Rams, baby. Give me the Rams. Give me
the
Rams.
Rams the red hot Rams. Okay, this could be such a funny. This could be such a funny game if lost. The 49ers at the Commanders.
If the Niners lose to the Commanders, I will lose it. I will lose it. I'm gonna say Niners are gonna win, but I will lose it if the Commanders beat the Niners.
It would be fantastic.
I will chirp in the group chat if they lose to the Commanders.
Another Brock Purdy disaster class. I'm praying for it. Next game. This is a big one. Steelers at Seattle. Both teams need this win. It's a must win for both teams. I believe Kenny Pickett is healthy and is playing.
Just take the time.
Both teams 8-7. We can't have a tie. It's got to be a win. So I'm taking Seattle, baby. Get at home. Give me Seattle.
Who you guys playing again? What is it?
Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Healthy, I'll take Seattle on that. I'll take that.
Okay.
I'll take Seattle on that one.
Cool. All right. Three more. We have the Bengals, the Bungles at the Kansas City Queefs.
I want to see the Bengals fuck the Chiefs. I mean,
you probably will.
Yeah, I mean that. I mean that, actually. I'm not going to apologize.
This Chiefs team is dysfunctional.
Can I just pull up the photo on my phone now? See if I can just get it to focus in. Let's see.
Here, let me do it. I'll do it right now. I have it saved.
Perfect. Merry Christmas. For those of you all don't know, it's the score to the Chiefs and the Raiders game. 20-14 was the final, and it's got Mrs. Mahomes, and it's got Taylor Swift just looking. Yep. They just look like they're just in shambles after watching distraught. Their boyfriend and husband in shambles and crying out there on the field like a bunch of grown men when it's not distraught. Even a Super Bowl loss or anything. They lost to the Raiders. Actually, I would be crying too if I lost to the Raiders.
Yeah, they look distraught. Okay.
No, they were horrible.
I'm taking the Bengals. Give me the Bengals. Okay, two more games. Chargers at Broncos. We just talked about this. Two backup quarterbacks.
And Broncos country. Yeah. Let's ride. Let's go, baby.
The bench. Yeah. Okay, last game. This is the game that I desperately need the Packers to win. So I'm going to take the Packers. Packers at Vikings. I need this. I'm taking the Packers, but that is our Sunday night, 6:20 p.m.
Against who? New the Year's Vikings? Eve game.
Well, the Vikings.
Nick Mullins on the Vikings. I don't like first off.
Nick Mullins has thrown how many interceptions in the last 2 weeks? He's thrown six interceptions.
Okay, so that's not good. Yeah, I'm going to say give me – sorry. Yeah, no, I'm not going with the Vikings at all. Give me the Packers, yeah. Jordan Love's a better quarterback. I think he can use their offense can actually – they're going to be able to generate something out of it, even though it's a whole bunch of young guys and rookies, which is fine. They're making it work, so good for them. I think they'll get by. I'll go Packers as well.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's them. I'm trying to nitpick a stat real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there you go. Four quarterbacks are tied for the most career interceptions by a quarterback on December 25th with four interceptions. The first three are Brock Purdy, Baker Mayfield, and Brett Favre. The other one is Dave Krieg. What a good look that is, man.
That's crazy.
Brock Purdy went 56 completion percentage. Took two sacks. Yeah, great. Love it. Need it. Yeah, that guy's a bum. I'm so glad he sucks. Okay, yeah, give me the Packers. Sorry.
Yeah. No, you said Packers at first. You said it.
Yeah. Give me the Packers. Okay, well, that's our week. Obviously, we didn't have Zach, so it's a little different here. But, that's what we do here. You know, thanks so much for tuning in to our In the End Zone week. Next week will be our final week going into the final week of football. And we basically have four or five more episodes for you. Every episode that we're recording is an absolute treasure. And we're thankful for you watching if you made it this far. And we will see you next week.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys. Stay tuned for the next week's episode.
Peace, dog.